The question today is, what is the criteria for examining your salvation experience, part two? We dealt with part one at a previous time, and this is part two. I pray that the Lord will help you see that. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. In other words, and that those two words mean basically the same thing, examine. In other words, know something, scrutinize to see whether a thing is real or genuine or not. And in this case, it's talking about salvation. And we need to, many examined by the wrong criteria, the wrong standards, if you please, and they come up short. So we begin in the other message on this, as far as the Ask the Pastor questions here. We begin with the criteria whereby you may examine yourself. Criteria means an accurate standard by which one can measure himself. We want to give you the accurate standard, and that's based upon the Word of God. And we said, first of all, there must be a reality of time and place. You've got to have a time and a place etched in your mind where you're saved. We're living in a day when many people say, well, I don't know where I'm saved, but I know I'm saved. It might be here, it might be here, it might be there, and then somebody else will come along and say, well, I'll just pray this prayer, and we'll settle it. We don't know where it is. No. That's not Bible. Listen, it's a time and a place that's got to be etched on your mind. You may not know the date, the minute, or the hour as far as bringing it to your mind, but you know what happened, especially when you examine the ingredients that we're talking about, the criteria. There's got to be a reality of a time and a place. There's also a reality of self. You've got to come to the place to realize who you are and really come to the end of yourself before a person can ever be saved. There's also a reality of sin. Singular, we talked about in the last Ask the Pastor question, but the part of this question. But it's not plural. It's not lying, stealing, drinking, and murdering, adultery. Yes, God will deal with that, but He's showing you that's the fruit, and that need to get down to the root, which is unbelief. And that's why you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to bring you to that point, place, and the time with that purpose where you can believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's got to be a reality of your separation or your lostness. See, a lot of these things are not reality. People have a head knowledge. That's something you recognize. That's a revelation. Revelation's not enough. There must be the reality of your lostness, and when God moves that upon you, business is fixing to pick up. He's about to finish His completed work, and He'll make that lostness a reality. But if it's never been a reality in your heart, you've never been saved. I remember a preacher who used to say, when did you experience lostness? That bothered me more than anything else, because I could tell him when I was saved, had a time and a place, when I joined the church, when I was baptized, and those things, but I never had experienced that separation from God. Oh, listen, there's got to be a reality of separation or lostness. There are also the criteria of the reality of the Savior. Now, listen, He's hidden in the bosom of the Father. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to reveal Him to you. That's why the work of Holy Ghost conviction must come and convince you of the righteousness of God, who is Jesus, who you need. And then we come to the sixth one that we want to deal with today is there must be a reality of repentance. Repentance is a must to be saved. You're not going to be saved without repentance. Many people say, well, all you got to do is believe. Listen, you can't believe until you repent. And you can't repent till God's granted you repentance. Luke 13:3 states, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And folks, repentance is more than saying the word, I repent. Repentance is more than turning over a new leaf. It's a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart, a change of attitude, and a change of directions. It means a turning from sin and self and the world and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and taking up sides with Him against yourself. Therefore, one can only repent whenever he has had a work of godly sorrow done in his heart. There's no other way around that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, for godly sorrow, and that means the deep calls grief on the inside. God calls grief. In other words, it's the emotional part of Holy Ghost conviction. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And unless repentance has been worked in your heart and produced, and it's in the Bible even refers to it as being granted to you. You can't work it up. It's a work of God. And He's going to get all the glory in salvation. John 3:27, John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. Repentance will not come until God grants it to you and God gives it to you. But He works it through godly sorrow, the emotional part of the Holy Ghost conviction. So there's got to be a reality of repentance. As far as the criteria, when you're checking out, you look back. Every time that you really had a work of repentance done, I didn't mean come to the altar and said, repent and say the words, I repent. It's not a word. It's a work of God. And then there's got to be a reality of trusting, which is more than just believing with the head, but trusting. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13 says this. He said, in whom you also trusted. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You see, there's got to be hearing of that word, and which involves a human instrumentality to cross your path. And it's not just by track alone, or just reading some little verse, or giving mental assent to something. It's hearing with the work of the Holy Ghost in that, that brings you to the place that you obey the gospel by believing. And that trusting, of course, we're talking about it. It means to more than just to believe some facts about the Lord Jesus. It means to commit to rely on, to submit to Jesus Christ as one's Lord. Folks, you're not saved by just taking Him as Savior. You've got to take Him as Lord. And that can only be done after faith has been given by the grace of God. Faith is a gift. Repentance is a gift. As I said, a man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven. God's got to grant you that. He's got to work that in you. And faith is a gift. It's His faith, not your faith anyway. Now, I know it becomes yours when He gives it to you. But the Bible said in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace through faith are you saved, that not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. It's not of you, it's a gift of God. It's not something you've got inside and you're born with. It's a work of God that comes inside, and faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10:17 says, and hearing by the word of God. And that word for word in Romans 10:17 is the word for utterance. It means God's got to speak that to you. If God doesn't speak something to you, you'll never get it as from Him. It must be spoken from by God. And that's why you can't just read some scripture and because some preacher tells you to pray this prayer or do this thing. Listen, God's Holy Spirit has got to quicken that to you. And when He does that, He'll increase your faith. He'll build your faith. And then He'll come to a point that He grants you saving faith. And then you can believe. You can obey the gospel because repentance will be worked. And faith will be worked. That's God's part. And then you can repent and believe and thus obey the gospel and have the blood sprinkled upon your life and be saved. That's criteria for self-examination, if you please. And then we have also number 8 as far as the criteria for examining yourself. Is the reality of assurance. I keep using the word reality because it's more than just something in your head, a revelation. It's got to be in your heart, a reality. You've heard people say some people are going to miss heaven by 14 inches, the distance from their head to the heart. Well, they're looking at the old physical heart, but it's in the inner core of the individual. That's where a reality comes, and it's a reality of assurance. Folks, I want to tell you, assurance doesn't come from man, but from the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your quickened spirit that you're saved. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You realize something? We must have that bearing the witness on the inside of the Holy Ghost of God, because at point of salvation, the Spirit comes to live inside you. And He will agree with the Word of God. He agrees with the Word of God. And if you're saved, the gospel came to you, as the Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it came not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. Somebody said, what does that mean? Well, it didn't come in word. You had to have the word. The word's got to cross your path. And He uses the human instrument to preach it to you. And therefore, it's got to come. But that's not enough. Some people just name it and claim it today. And it's not just for the health and wealth crowd. Many Baptists are doing that today and say, well, I know I'm saved by because of John 3:16. Well, hallelujah for John 3:16. But folks, if that's all the assurance you've got, it's not enough. It's not word only, but also in power. It means there has to be converting power come, and convicting power has got to be there. And by the Holy Ghost, of course, that's where the power comes from. Jesus never performed one miracle without the power of the Holy Ghost, and you'll never move toward God without the Holy Ghost moving upon you in power. And therefore, anything you do without His work in you, it'll be of you. It'll be of some preacher. It'll be of some denomination. It'll not be of God, and it won't be real. Listen, assurance come. He said, it come in power in the Holy Ghost and much assurance. We're living in a day when people say, well, I just don't know whether I'm really saved or not. If you go back and examine and match it up to the book, there, the assurance will come in that you are saved. In other words, it said much assurance is what the Bible said. And now, as I tell them sometime, the word much in the Greek means a whole bunch, and that's what God gives you. And then he said in Isaiah chapter 32, verse number 17, he makes this statement about the assurance. He said in verse 17 of Isaiah 32, the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's peace with God. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Some people think, well, I had assurance for about 2 weeks. Well, it wasn't real. God said, my assurance will be forever, and it comes from Him. So these criteria must be present in your salvation experience in some quantity or in some degree. What are they again? There's a reality of time and a place. There's a reality of self. There's a reality of sin. There's a reality of separation or your lostness. There's a reality of the Savior who becomes your Lord. There's a reality of repentance, and there's a reality of trusting, which, of course, repenting lets you obey the gospel by repenting and believing. And then there's that reality of assurance. You won't have to have mama and daddy by your side to tell you and assure you. Somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, the preacher told me. Oh, that's not good enough. You don't need that. You see, if these criteria, if they're not present in some way, then you're not in the faith. You do not know your own self. What did he say in 2 Corinthians 13? Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Know your own selves. You see, if you cannot find these present, then you're not in the faith, and you do not know your own self. And God said you're reprobate. That means you're not approved. You're not standing the test. In other words, that's what that verse verifies. You may refuse to examine now, and you may refuse to admit you're not do not measure up after you examine. But one day, when you stand before the Lord, if these criteria are not present, then you'll not measure up, and He'll tell you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, Matthew 7:23. How sad that will be, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. But now you can do something about it. Seek Him with all your heart. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.